Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar, broadcasting from my home studio. The November 3rd election is less than a month away. In a normal election year, even a presidential election year, most of the questions would center on where the candidates stand on issues, or maybe whether a voting place has been moved. But 2020 is far from normal, and of course, I'm not just talking about the election. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, a large number of voters will be voting by mail. That's just one of the issues and questions related to election 2020. Joining us on today's program is Pennsylvania Secretary of the Commonwealth, Kathy Buchvar. Secretary Buchvar, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Scott.
Also, Jonathan Marks, Deputy Secretary for Elections and Commissions with the Pennsylvania Department of State. Deputy Secretary Marks, glad to have you on the show today.
Good morning, Scott. It's good to be here.
We know
morning,
you have
Secretary Buchvar.
Good morning, Deputy Secretary Marks.
Well, you guys, normally we would be in a studio, but these are strange times indeed. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, there's a lot to cover. I have a lot of questions myself. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have questions as well. There are several challenges to a smooth election this year. Secretary Buchvar, what do you see as the biggest challenge right now as we speak?
So I guess I would have to go, Scott, with the disinformation and misinformation that are so rampant, the hype, the fear-mongering and all that, look, there are actors who want nothing more than to shake voters' confidence in this election because that suppresses the vote. And then we make it so easy with social media and other forms of, of 24/7 news cycles to just repeat that fear-mongering, repeat the disinformation without double-checking to find out whether any of it is actually true. So I want every Pennsylvanian and every American to know that no matter how you vote, no matter who you're voting for, every form of elections that we allow voters to use, and in Pennsylvania, thanks to Act 77 and Act 12, historic bipartisan legislation passed last year and this year, we have more choices on how to vote in Pennsylvania than ever before in history, and every one of those options is safe, secure, and accessible.
How can you say that with confidence? And I say, how can you say that? Because President Trump has been talking for months about, talking about mail-in balloting and mail-in voting. And, I mean, he's gone as far as calling it a disaster. How can you say it with such confidence?
President Trump says a lot of things, but I'm on the ground. I see what the county election offices are doing. I see what the Department of State workers are doing. I see what the poll workers are doing. I've been a poll worker. We've been working closely, hands-on, on how elections actually work. And for example, so I want to make sure that people understand that Pennsylvania is not a state where we mail ballots to every voter. Other states do that. They have their own procedures. I really like Pennsylvania's procedures for mail-in and absentee voting. We've been doing this for absentee ballots for decades. And what you do is no Pennsylvanian is getting a ballot in the mail unless they've applied. And in order to apply, what you need to do is you need to either give your driver's license number or you give the last four digits of your Social Security number. And before you even get a ballot, before you ever get a ballot, you are checked against the PennDOT database or the Social Security database, and you're checked against your voter record. You have to be shown to be eligible on all those fronts before you ever get a ballot. Then after you fill out your ballot, you send it back in or you drop it off to an approved location. Then the county checks again to make sure that you've requested that ballot, to make sure that you've completed the declaration asserting that you have not voted before and that you are who you say you are, and they make sure you're eligible again. And that second process may be watched by party representatives, candidate representatives. Your application may be challenged if you're not an eligible voter. There are so many, many, many steps in place in Pennsylvania to make sure that every eligible voter gets their vote to be counted. And I have extreme confidence in the counties that take this very, very seriously.
Hey, we're going to revisit mail-in ballots throughout the program, but I want to talk about the latest news. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday night agreed with South Carolina Republicans and said mail-in ballots must contain a witness's signature, something that federal courts had said should be waived because of the coronavirus pandemic. The high court did make one concession, saying ballots already sent in. Now, this is in South Carolina, but it's the U.S. Supreme Court, that ballots already sent in without a witness should be counted. Will that have an impact here in Pennsylvania?
You know, Scott, I don't think so. I mean, these cases are so fact specific, and that circumstance doesn't apply here. So, you know, nobody can guess what any court is going to do. And we certainly have a lot of courts weighing in right now in a lot of different cases. And there's also another, you know, we just had a couple of filings in the last couple of days, including a King's Bench petition to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, asking them to issue a declaratory judgment stating that no mail-in or absentee ballots may be rejected or challenged based on a person's signature changing over time. We all know lots of us have that situation, and it impacts older voters even more. So we don't want anybody to be disenfranchised for this. We've asked the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to weigh in on that. We'll see where they come down. But that case with South Carolina is just a completely different circumstance than what we have here.
So in Pennsylvania, there is no regulation or no requirement to have a witness signature?
No.
There isn't. Not. So you're saying you don't think it would apply to Pennsylvania?
The circumstances are completely different. So that's correct. If we had that situation, then obviously it would be, you know, it could have an impact, but that's not a case or issue that's pending in Pennsylvania. It's not a thing that we have in Pennsylvania.
Deputy Secretary Marks, I want to bring you in on this question. We're talking about the latest news. Over the weekend, the Department of State and a few other agencies in state government had a computer system outage. It affected online voter services that included voter registration and mail-in ballot applications. What happened, first of all?
Well, essentially, it was a hardware failure in the infrastructure that hosts not only our agency's infrastructure for the statewide voter registration database, but also the infrastructure of several other agencies. Fortunately, it happened, I believe, late Saturday night, and through Sunday, and services were restored by Monday morning. You know, still obviously an incredible inconvenience to anyone who attempted to use our services during that period of time. But we are fortunate it didn't happen in the middle of the week. And thankful, you know, we're very thankful to our IT staff who worked throughout the weekend 24/7 to restore access. But it was a hardware failure that impacted, as I said, not only us, but a few other agencies in the Commonwealth as well.
And because
we have data backups and everything else, we were able to assure folks that there was no data loss, no problems there that people had to worry about.
You say a hardware problem. What caused the hardware problem? And are you sure there was no mischief, no hacking going on?
Yes, our IT staff, there's, and I won't go into a whole lot of detail, but we do have not only IT staff at the Commonwealth that handle, sort of the functional elements. We also have Chief Information Security Office. They were consulted as well to make sure that what we were seeing was simply something breaking as opposed to something being broken intentionally. We worked with other partners as well, and we were confident, even before we had service restored, that what we were seeing was, was just breakage as opposed to a concerted attack.
Could it happen again?
I I've been on your show before, so you know how I feel about hypotheticals.
I know.
Anything could happen again. Certainly, you know, every time something like this happens, it is a lesson for us, for our IT staff, for everyone. And you know, how we... I'm very, very happy with how we responded, with how our CIO's office responded. Again, it was a relatively short period of time, but you know, I understand if that had happened at some other critical time, it may have been a bigger deal. So, you know, obviously, as we, you know, do our after action review and look at exactly what happened, we want to put ourselves in a position, in the event that it happens again, that we can restore services even faster than we did this past time.
So, as you said, yeah, we don't want to talk about what could happen, but at the same time, it did happen this weekend, and it lasted for a day and a half. What if there was an outage where votes are tabulated?
May I jump in for a moment?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Secretary.
Sorry. Look, Scott, we're obviously still very close to the time, but I want you to know that we are all these plans. Look, we already have in place contingency plans and failover plans. We're going to have extra levels of that. So our IT team is working on making sure that in every piece of this that's within any human's control. And this happened at a contractor. This was a contractor's site. There's another whole set of eyes on this as well. We are making sure that this never happens like this again and taking every effort we possibly can that will lead to that conclusion. And like Jonathan said, that a recovery would, you know, look, yesterday on the day that was the voter registration deadline in Florida, they had a fail as well. Like, technology happens. It fails sometimes, and it's why we have lots of options, right? We have paper options. Voters could still download PDFs. You could go in person. Philadelphia had its satellite election offices open on Sunday, even when we had some of these downtimes. Voters were able to go in person, apply for their ballots, apply to register to vote, show ID. They were able to cast those ballots. So that's one of the advantages of having so many choices now, is that we have resiliency and we have paper. So paper ballots, we have paper applications, those always work even when the technology goes down. So I urge everybody to keep that in mind. And it's why we say, don't wait until last minute, do it today, register today, apply for your ballot today, go in person today, get it done.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Full hour today talking about election issues with Pennsylvania Secretary of the Commonwealth, Kathy Buchvar, and Deputy Secretary for Elections and Commissions with the Pennsylvania Department of State, Jonathan Marks. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Secretary, Deputy Secretary, we've already received an email from a couple of voters who said they have not received their mail-in ballot yet. Some counties have sent these out. Others, it's not on the same. It's not all happening at the same time statewide. That's correct, right?
Correct, and that's how it's always been, Scott. So, you know, historically, counties have sent out their ballots generally 3 to 5 weeks before Election Day. We urged counties to do it even earlier this year, but of course, there was also a statewide challenge to the ballot. So unfortunately, the counties you know, had to wait. We had a stay on certifying the ballot issued by the Supreme Court. So as soon as that stay was lifted and the decision was issued by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, we certified the ballot. And a lot of counties were able to get their ballots out very, very quickly, but some are still doing it, still getting their ballots in the mail this week. Jonathan, everybody's getting their ballots in the mail this week, correct, by this week?
Yeah, there were a number of counties that were able to get ballots in the mail before the end of September. Based on the information we've gotten from counties, the remainder, they'll be sent out this week, early October.
And voters can track their ballots. How do they do that?
Correct. Jonathan, you want to answer that one?
Sure. They can visit our website at votespa.com. And absentee and mail-in balloting link, you'll see a link to the ballot tracker. And you can actually go on there. You put your name, date of birth, I believe, some general information about yourself. It'll find your record, and it will tell you what the status of your ballot is. So if you just sent your request in, for example, it may tell you that the status of your ballot is pending. If your ballot has been mailed out by your county board of elections, it will tell you that your ballot was mailed. It will tell you the date that it was mailed.
Let's take a phone call from Go ahead, Secretary.
Scott, I just want to add, I urge everybody, when you're applying, put your email address in, and then you'll get email notifications along the way as well. And it's really reassuring, because no matter whether you vote by mail or you vote in person, you'll get an email telling you that your ballot has been mailed. When you mail it back, you'll get an email telling you your ballot's been received. So it's great to get those emails and just know, okay, it's taken care of. So urge everybody, enter your email address so you can get those notifications.
Let's take a phone call from Susan in Gettysburg. Susan, you're on the air.
Great, thank you. I just want to have you clarify two things. A lot of folks who are getting their mail-in ballots now want to opt to go to their polling place on the 3rd of November and vote in person. It's my understanding that so long as you take your mail-in ballot with you and it hasn't been altered in any way, that it can be invalidated and you can vote in person. Then the other question, a clarification, is if you want to take your mail-in ballot and rather than mail it, drop it off at the courthouse, is it all right if someone else drops it off for you, or must you show ID when you drop your ballot off at the courthouse? Can you just clarify that for me, please?
Two good questions.
Two great questions. So, first question, yes, brand new law, Act 12 of 2020, created a new situation where if you've applied for a mail-in ballot and you've changed your mind, you said, you know what, I want to vote in person now, do what you said. Just don't fill out your ballot. Don't throw out any of the envelopes. Just bring the whole thing with the outer envelope to your polling place. You'll wait in line just like regular voters. When you check in, you say, I'd like to surrender my ballot, my mail-in ballot, and vote by machine instead. They'll take your ballot. They'll void it. They'll have you sign a declaration saying, I swear I have not already cast a ballot. And then you'll be allowed to sign in the poll book and vote like you normally do. And for those that either lost their ballot or forgot to keep it, if you could still do it. You can go in person on Election Day. You'll just have to vote by provisional ballot. So that's just kind of a separate paper ballot that is only counted later as long as they make sure that you haven't voted by another means. But for people who bring their mail-in ballot with them, you can vote by the regular mail, by the regular voting systems. So great, great question. And your second question, every voter in Pennsylvania law requires that voters only cast their own ballots. So that applies for mail-in and absentee ballots. So unless you're a voter with a disability who has a designated agent, and we have agency forms linked on our website, correct, Jonathan?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So if you go onto votespa.com and you look for the designated agent form for delivering a mail-in or absentee ballot, if you're a voter with a disability, you can name an agent. You sign the form, the agent signs the form, and that's totally valid then for that person to deliver it for you. But for all other voters, you may only deliver your own ballot, and that's both whether you do it to the county election office or you do it to a designated drop-off location or you do it by mail. You have to just deliver your own ballot.
How do you know that, though? I mean, if I give it to my wife to drop off for me, is there someone checking?
Yeah, the counties have to turn people away. So if I try to show up at a county election office with more than my own ballot, the counties cannot accept more than one ballot from you unless you are a designated agent for somebody else. So yes,
okay, I understand that part. But say I give my ballot to my wife, she has only one ballot, which is mine. How does that agent know that that's not her ballot, but it's mine?
You're talking about at the county election office?
Yeah.
They ask. They'll say, is this your ballot?
Okay. And if she says yes, doesn't tell the truth. My wife would never do that. But say someone out there says, yeah, this is my ballot. Is there any way of checking that?
Well, sure. On the outside of the envelope, Scott, it will say your name, not hers. So all they have to do is glance at it, and they'll see. I mean, unless her name is Scott Lamar, you know, she's going to be turned away.
Well, she would be. The point I'm making is that if someone would want to, turn in a ballot that's not theirs, and if they lied about it, is there any way to know that?
Well, there's significant criminal. I mean, look, this has been the case in Pennsylvania for years. This is not new. Absentee voters have never been able to deliver other people's ballots. So this hasn't changed. There's just more people voting by mail. So it's exactly the same as it's been. And I think there's a lot of things in our society, whether it's voting or otherwise, that we have to have a basic element of trust and responsibility. We all have to have that. Voter fraud has not been a thing that has been widespread. It's rare. It's extremely rare. And if you try to, pass yourself off as somebody else and try to figure out how to vote, let me tell you, let's talk about how hard it would be. So if I, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, we don't mail ballots to everybody, right? So we only mail a ballot to somebody who's applied. So let's say, Scott, you want to impersonate somebody. You have to get the list of the people who have requested it and been approved and been mailed a ballot. You have to steal their ballot from their mailbox. So you're already committing a federal crime by mail theft. Then you have to commit an election fraud violation, which is a felony in Pennsylvania punishable by 7 years. And then you have to make sure that the county election office doesn't catch it, or I don't call the county election office and say, where's my ballot? I never got it. So there's so many layers of protections here. It's incredibly hard to pull this off, and you'd be subjecting yourself to countless years in jail as well as tens of thousands of dollars in fines.
Is there ID required? The person dropping the ballot off required to show any ID?
No, because they've already shown their ID. I mean, they've already presented ID in their ballot application process by giving their Social Security or driver's license number. But again, your name is on the outside of the envelope, literally. Mm-hmm. It's on the outside there that the county is looking at it.
And let me assure both of you that I am not trying to create any confusion. There's enough confusion out there. I'm not trying to. I'm just asking the questions. Go ahead.
What did you say, Deputy Secretary? Scott, if you don't mind, I just did want to make one point. You know, we're talking about this. I would think, you know, and this goes back to what the Secretary said earlier about, you know, the misinformation and the disinformation, a lot of the fear-mongering and fear about mail-in ballots. You know, what we're talking about here is far less likely. It would be easier to return somebody's ballot through the U.S. Postal Service, somebody else's ballot through the U.S. Postal Service, than it would be in person to the county election office. Mm-hmm. And that is been the traditional way that absentee ballots have been returned is through the mail. The efforts the counties are making now to provide alternatives for voters to return their mail, I think, gives people greater confidence. They're handing it over directly into the custody of the County Board of Elections. They don't have to worry about it, how long it takes to get through the mail, and they don't have to worry about it getting lost in the mail or somebody tampering with it, because they're able to hand it over directly into the custody of the County Board of Elections.
And again, let me assure you, I really hesitated to ask the questions because I don't want to create any more confusion. But I did want to ask the questions out there. We have a follow-up question to the first question that Susan answered, and the secretary provided an answer to her about her question was about if you had received a mail-in ballot, if you could vote in person. Secretary, you said that if that ballot is not filled out, you made a point of saying that. What if someone has opened the envelope and has filled it out but just hasn't mailed it back in? Can they still turn that in, have it disqualified, and decide to vote in person?
Yes. I mean, as long as you haven't cast it, Scott, it doesn't matter. It has to be clear. You have to have the outer envelope as well as the ballot. So because, the outer envelope is the part of the ballot package that identifies you, right? It says that this is the ballot that was sent to you. So, but as long as you have the ballot and you have the outer envelope and you surrender it, that's the key. They're voiding it. So it doesn't matter whether you've scribbled on it or whatever. Like, you're voiding it, you're surrendering it, you're signing a declaration saying, I haven't cast the ballot, and then you'll be allowed to vote.
Okay.
Jonathan, that's your understanding, correct?
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Couple other things. The Supreme Court ruling that I referred to a few minutes ago said that the ballots won't be counted if both envelopes aren't included when they're mailed back to a voter's county. It's been referred to as naked ballots, but this has a potential to be a big problem. There's been a lot of educational efforts going on since this became an issue a few weeks ago. In fact, the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania has put out a video instructing people on just step by step on how to do this, and we've posted this on our website, WYTF.org/smarttalk. So how big of a problem and a concern is this?
Jonathan, you want to take this one?
Sure. It is a concern. Certainly, there is a percentage of voters who may forget to enclose their ballot inside the secrecy envelope, which is basically a very nondescript plain envelope that just has in black print the words official election ballot across it. Due to the Supreme Court's ruling on this, that it is an absolute requirement, it is important for everyone to remember to enclose the ballot in the secrecy envelope. And certainly you mentioned the educational effort. We're going to do our best as well to educate voters on the process to make sure that nobody forgets to do that. But it could have an impact, certainly, on the number of ballots that are ultimately not counted by a county. Typically, historically, with absentee balloting here in Pennsylvania, the primary reason that ballots weren't counted was because they were late, and they weren't received by the statutory deadline. This obviously has the potential to increase the number of ballots that are counted for another reason, and that being this failure to the term's been thrown around, as Secretary said, is naked ballot. So we would call one that's properly enclosed a clothed ballot, I guess. yes, it's very important that people remember to do that, because as it stands right now, per the Supreme Court's ruling, ballots that are not inside that secrecy envelope cannot be counted by the boards of elections.
Along those lines.
Scott, can we give a little public service announcement to just give a clear explanation? So, and unfortunately, I just found out yesterday that we are apparently the only state in the entire country that does not count naked ballots now, which is frustrating to say the least.
Yeah.
Because other states have determined that does not evidence, that does not overwrite somebody's, you know, clear demonstration of wanting to vote. But anyway, so everybody, you're going to get two envelopes. You're going to get a ballot. You're going to get two envelopes. One's going to be plain white with just an official election envelope, ballot envelope on it, plain white, and then an outer envelope that has your name and the pre-addressed return envelope and that kind of stuff. So just keep in mind, two envelopes. You need both envelopes to be able to have your ballot counted. You put your ballot in the white secrecy envelope. You seal it. Put the whole white secrecy envelope in the outer envelope, seal it, make sure that you sign, date, and put all your information on that outer envelope, and that way you know that your ballot will be counted.
We had heard that there are some military ballots out there that have been had some issues in that maybe some of these were sent to those in the military before the Supreme Court ruling, but some of them have some of those in the military have received ballots without secrecy envelopes. It's confusing. Heard that one couple had to call their office, recast the ballot after forgetting. Some military ballots may have gone out before the Supreme Court decision. How should counties be handling that?
Jonathan, you want this one?
Counties, I will say, right, we have our legal counsel looking right now at the overall impact that the court's ruling will have. Military and overseas ballots, there are a number of things that are different about them. One of them is that a lot of these ballots go out electronically, the blank ballot. Now, along with that will be instructions. There's also an envelope template that the voter can use. There, the instructions tell them to enclose it in a plain envelope, an inner envelope, and then enclose that in an outer envelope. But there's a provision in our statute that essentially says that a military or overseas civilian voter's ballot cannot be set aside because they've made some small error, you know, using the wrong paper stock or so we have our counsel reviewing right now whether that provision will cover a military or overseas voter who, for whatever reason, failed to enclose their balloting materials in a secrecy envelope. But again, the message to all voters, regular civilian, overseas, whoever they are, military voters, read and follow the instructions and make sure that you both enclose your voted ballot in the secrecy envelope and also complete, in the case of regular civilian voters, you would complete the declaration on the outer or the larger of the two envelopes. For a military and overseas voter who may have received their balloting materials electronically, there's an affirmation that such a voter has to fill out, and they would enclose that inside the outer envelope, but not inside the smaller secrecy envelope. And again, there are instructions that go out with each of those packets, so it's important for every voter to follow those instructions so that they have confidence that their ballot is correctly cast and will be counted in any event.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're talking about the election coming up in less than a month now. As you see, there are still a lot of questions. It's an unusual year, 2020. I don't have to tell you that. And that includes how we're voting, whether it's safe to vote in person, mail-in balloting, naked ballots, a lot that has come into question this year. Our guest, Pennsylvania Secretary of the Commonwealth, Kathy Buchvar. Jonathan Marks is Deputy Secretary for Elections and Commissions with the Pennsylvania Department of State. Our phone number is 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. And on Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Now, we have a phone call, and this is unsolicited. I will say this as a disclaimer. Representative Garth Everett, who is chairman of the House, State Government Committee, was listening and decided to call in. Representative Everett, are you there on the line?
I am, Scott. Thank you. And good morning, Secretary and Deputy Secretary. And I just wanted
good morning,
to
morning, Representative.
Morning. Is that I have been in communications with the Department of State through. I don't go directly to Secretary Buchvar on these issues, but I do go to Deputy Secretary Marks through their legislative liaison. And I bet I'm in contact with them 2 to 3 times a week on questions that I get asked by members of the House, and I filter them through the Department of the State. And they have been very helpful on trying to clear up the issues that you're dealing with today. And I just wanted to touch on a couple real quick. You know, the verifying who's dropping off a mail-in ballot. You know, when Deputy Secretary Marks was and the Secretary was saying, you know, we've been doing absentee mail-in balloting for years, and you can drop your mail-in ballot, and I would stress that they are mail-in ballots. That's what they were intended to be, mailed. You can drop them in a mailbox, and nobody certifies who you are or who you're not. So this sudden concern about who's dropping off mail-in ballots, you know, as I believe the secretary explained, may be a little bit misplaced after you've gone through the whole process to get a mail-in ballot in the first place. And on the naked ballot issue, I was very surprised at the Supreme Court's decision. As the secretary said, I would have thought that they would have said that the voter had clearly made it clear they were intending to vote. They filled out their ballot correctly. They filled out their verification correctly, and they simply forgot. And, you know, the inside envelope, I was, you know, and we are an outlier. I was very surprised. And, you know, and these are issues that, you know, we're all looking at, and, you know, we'll have to work with the Department of State after the election to find out what worked well, what didn't work, what was unclear, what was clear, and what we need to do in the legislative code through the legislature rather than through the courts to get things, refined. We did that after Act 77. Hopefully the Senate will move a bill that's over there that will also help with some pre-processing and some deadlines and make things even a little better. But I just wanted to say that I've been working with the Department of State throughout this, and they've been wonderful. It's day by day. We get a new court ruling. We get a new guidance from somebody, and they have to get this out to the election directors. And the election directors have been wonderful with trying to keep up with all this. And that's all I had to say, unless somebody has a question for me.
Well I have a question, Representative. That Supreme Court ruling gave counties a few days after the election to count mail-in ballots if they're postmarked by Election Day. But counties want to start counting ballots before the election. That would take legislative action. Will they get that legislative action?
You'll have to call the leadership in the Senate. House Bill 2626. Is over in the Senate. Senate's in this week. It provides for 3 days of pre-processing ballots. It changes the deadline for when you can request a mail-in ballot, as was requested. These were things that were requested by the Department of State, pre-processing and changing dates. I'm not saying we did it exactly the way the Department of State might have wanted us to do, but we did act on those issues. And it's my hope that the Senate will act on those this week. And get that guidance, you know, to the governor and out to our election directors.
You understand why counties want that ability to be able to count these many, many ballots that are going to be coming in before the election.
Election directors from across the state, because I am the chairman of the state government committee, have personally made that very clear to me, and also CCAP has, you know, as their representative. So, no, it's crystal clear what they want and what the Department of State wants and what the House of Representatives allowed them to do, and that will be vital. You know, I understand that, you know, counting afterwards ballots that may have been mailed, but, you know, might be helpful. But what will be really helpful is if we can pre-process those ballots. If not, if we do all the counting afterwards, it could be a very long time until we have a clear result in Pennsylvania.
Representative Everett, thank you very much for calling in.
Yes, thank you. Talk to you later.
Secretary, Deputy Secretary, do you want to respond to what the representative had to say?
Sure. So thank you to Chairman Everett for his comments. And yeah, look, I think we all know, and Chairman Everett and I met early on after he became chairman. And, you know, I think one of the things that I really liked about him is that we talked very openly about the fact that there were going to be things that we would never agree on, you know, different approaches by the Democratic members of the legislature, different approaches by the Republican members of the legislature. But what at this point in the game, it's critical that we eliminate all the disputed things. And I think, you know, Chairman Everett knows and we know that, you know, 90% of that bill that he referenced are disputed. And we believe that multiple of those provisions would disenfranchise voters. And multiple of those provisions actually just feasibly cannot take place before November. For example, changing back a deadline when it's already, 28 days before the election, you can't say that every piece of material that's already in voters' houses that says October 27th, you can't change that backwards at this point. I think there are things that we should discuss for future elections, but at this point, the single most important thing that's non-controversial, every one of 67 counties in the Commonwealth, the Department of State, every voter, every candidate, every citizen who wants to get election results quickly wants us to be able to start pre-canvassing those ballots ahead of time. So what I'd love to see is get rid of everything else that we know are disputed. Let's focus in on one thing. Allow the counties to start pre-canvassing those ballots earlier. And I guarantee it will be signed into law in no time by the governor. But let's focus in, get that one thing done.
Okay, say that doesn't happen. Say that doesn't happen. When are we looking at results? Is there any way to predict? I know, Deputy Secretary, you said that you don't like to speculate, and I understand that we don't like speculation. But let's face it, Pennsylvania is one of the key states in this presidential election. The nation is going to be watching when our results come in, what they say. If that doesn't happen, if counties don't have the ability to count before Election Day, any idea how long we're looking at getting results?
Yeah, go ahead, Jonathan.
No, I'm sorry, Secretary. You go first and I can add to it.
All right, I'll be quick.
It's a way to keep your job, Jonathan.
So, you know, the counties have been phenomenal. I mean, really since the day after the primary, basically, well, let's say the day after they finished counting, we started talking about the general and immediately started talking about equipment, staffing, best practices on how to make sure that they, you know, we went from literally 84,000 absentee ballots in the 2016 primary to nearly 1.5 million. So that's 17 times. The counties got it done, 17 times as many, with no ability to plan ahead for that. So now we have that experience, and they have gotten more equipment, they've staffed up, they have practices in place. And so And you probably have heard a lot of counties are actually planning on counting 24/7 until they get it done. That's not something I would wish on anybody, but if right now they have no choice because they're not allowed to start pre-canvassing sooner. So I give huge kudos to the counties that are literally going to stay in the room and get it done. So I think we're talking about a matter of days that they'll get the overwhelming majority counted. Obviously, the number of ballots that come in impact that, but the overwhelming majority, I think, will be counted in a couple of days. Johnson, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Sure. I wanted to, and this kind of goes back to Chairman Everett's comments too. We're talking about litigation. I think we all agree that having legislation versus litigation that changes the status quo weeks before the election is preferable. We mentioned the 3-day extension by the Supreme Court. That's going to impact, obviously, when counties finish because they're potentially going to be getting ballots, mail-in and absentee ballots beyond Election Day. But the Secretary's absolutely right. Every county and in the Commonwealth reassessed their needs after the June primary. Especially knowing that by November we would still be, a whole lot may not have changed regarding COVID-19, and they got the additional equipment they need. So I really think it's going to be a matter of days. It's certainly not going to be weeks. And I think we may see that the counties will complete their tabulation and counting earlier than they did in the primary. That's my expectation based on what we've seen the counties do. And it's not just the tabulation equipment, it's mail openers, other equipment that help streamline and automate the process of ballot intake as they come in and also getting them counted. But I think voters play an important role here too. As the secretary noted, ballots are have either gone out in many counties or they're going out this week. When you get your ballot, return it as soon as possible. The more ballots that come in prior to Election Day, obviously, the more of those counties can process and count during the pre-canvass period that begins at 7 a.m. on Election Day, through the canvass period that begins no later than the Friday after the election. So the more that are in, before Election Day, the more ballots, the more ballots get counted, and there are less ballots outstanding, the day after the election or 3 days after the election.
We only have a minute or so left. I want to thank both of you for being with us. If I can get a quick answer on this one and then one more question. Are there enough election workers?
Poll workers? Like Election
Yes.
Day election workers?
Yeah.
We are in so much better shape, thank goodness. What is it, Jonathan? 45,000 Pennsylvanians have signed
Yes.
up to volunteer. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. And that's just through our online tool.
But they're inexperienced.
Okay. Well, they get training. It's, training is part of the process. And look, honestly, having done it myself, I can tell you, as long as you get training, you're going to be with other workers who've been there before. It's not a complicated process. You just need to, you ask for help if you have a question. But it's the amount of civic engagement by these volunteers is incredible. Having said that, we have very restrictive rules for the counties to be able to fill the positions need to be with people who live in the precinct. So don't not sign up just because you hear me saying that 45,000 people did, because there are counties that still have a couple of vacancies. So go to votespa.com. We very much welcome your participation in our democracy.
I still have questions. We might have to have the two of you back on the program, if you're willing, before the election. Are you okay with that?
Our time is extremely limited, but
Come on, Secretary.
We'll try our best. You have no idea.
That wasn't putting you on the spot or anything. So, Pennsylvania Secretary of the Commonwealth Kathy Buchvar and Jonathan Marks, Deputy Secretary for Elections and Commissions with the Department of State. Thank both of you for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Scott. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. You have a great day.
We'll see you. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking with a presidential candidate, the Libertarian candidate for President Joe Jorgensen. Yeah, we have candidates that are on the ballot in Pennsylvania. That's coming up on tomorrow's program.
WITF's election coverage is supported by the law firm of Saul Ewing, Arnstein, and Lear.